You're listening to SBS News.
Extradition is a process designed to prevent criminals from evading justice by simply crossing international borders. International law academic Kevin Borham explains.
Extradition is a request from country A to country B for someone who is within the jurisdiction of country B, which A wants in order to charge that person with a crime.
Extradition can be pursued in Australia if, for example, a person commits a serious criminal offence in Australia, but leaves and goes to another country before they can face justice. Australia could then submit an extradition request to that country for the return of that person to face prosecution in Australia. Because extradition cases are expensive and time-consuming, they're reserved for serious offences such as war crimes, sexual assault, murder or fraud. Australia's extradition regime is governed by the Extradition Act 1988 and implemented by the Attorney General's Department. It's different to deportation, which is the removal of a person from a country where they don't have a lawful right to be, and which is overseen by the Department of Home Affairs. Extradition regimes vary by country, but as Murdoch University law lecturer Lorraine Finley explains, they're usually predicated by the establishment of an extradition treaty.
An extradition treaty is simply an agreement between either two countries or a range of countries about how they'll deal with the process of extradition. So most importantly, it sets out who can be extradited and in what circumstances.
Australia shares a special extradition relationship with New Zealand. Extraditions involving Australia and New Zealand are governed by a system known as the backing of warrants. That's when Australian authorities approve, or back, a New Zealand-issued warrant, and vice versa. Ms. Finley says the process is overseen by prosecuting authorities in both countries and has no involvement from the executive governments.
The closeness of the relationship with New Zealand means there's a streamlined process, which is something that you'd expect from countries that are so close to each other, both in terms of our borders, but also in terms of our legal systems and the way that they operate.
Australia's other treaty partners have obligations to consider any extradition requests Australia makes, and Australia can only accept requests from country with which it has a treaty. If there's no extradition treaty, countries have no responsibility to consider requests. Kevin Borham says the Attorney General makes the final decision over which countries Australia finalises a treaty with.
The Attorney General needs to make a decision whether a state is an extradition state. If he decides that is the case, then the extradition regulations add that country.
Lorraine Finley says while many differences exist within Australia's various extradition treaties, there's also a number of commonalities.
It will say that, for example, to be extradited, the offence has to also be an offence in Australia. There's normally a political offences exception. So if we have reasonable grounds for believing that they're actually being wanted for a political offence, we won't extradite. There's a discrimination clause so that if we've got reasonable grounds to believe they're actually going to be punished for their race or sex or religion or some other ground like that, we won't extradite.
Extradition requests and treaty negotiations that are unsuccessful often fail because there's no guarantee the accused will have their human rights observed. Arthur Moses, the president of the Law Council of Australia, says these were key reasons why attempts to negotiate an extradition treaty with China in 2016 were unsuccessful.
There are a number of concerns, and the Law Council certainly raised these concerns at the time, which was the limited protections for the right to a fair trial within China. That is, a judiciary that was not truly independent from the executive arm of government. The other issue that was raised is the fact that the death penalty is something which does still exist.
Mr. Moses says while there's discrimination clauses involved in most of Australia's extradition treaties, the Law Council believes Australia could also better protect human rights.
Our extradition legislative framework provides limited protections for the right to a fair trial, and we say that should be front and centre in relation to the consideration of any extradition request by a foreign country of an individual when it comes before an Australian court.
Lorraine Finley agrees. She says the lack of international communication, which led to Thailand's erroneous detainment of Melbourne-based refugee footballer Hakeem Al-Arabi, who was the subject of an extradition request from Bahrain, shows why reform might be needed.
It's absolutely vital to Australia that we have strong relationships with other countries in terms of cooperating on law enforcement. But at the same time, we need to balance that with the fact that there are serious human rights concerns with these types of things, so that in particular, Australian citizens or people that have sought protection from Australia are actually given the protection that they need.
Between 2012, 2013 and 2017-18, Australia made almost twice as many applications to send people to face justice in another country than it did to bring people here to face justice. Aside from Australian citizens, Australia's most frequent extraditions involved the Republic of Ireland, Britain, the United States and their nationals. The top five offences people were extradited to Australia for were sex offences, including child sex offences, drug offences, fraud, murder, including manslaughter and attempted murder, and people smuggling. During the same period, the top five offences Australia sent people away for were fraud, sex offences, including child sex offences, assault, drug offences, and driving offences. Australia also extradited one person for war crimes in that time. Dragan Vasiljkovic, nicknamed Captain Dragan, arrested in Australia in 2006, but extradited to the Republic of Croatia 9 years later, in July 2015. Evan Young, SBS News.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website, or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.